Yes, as a matter of fact, we should, by next week, I'll have you a written statement.
I don't know who you made that promise to, but they must.
They just assessed, some guy said he just got assessed $15,000. Fixing up.
Vince, I tell you the truth, I'm having second thoughts.
Okay.
Well, I'm not.
Mr. Moore, would you like a motion to come back from recess?
Yes.
I will entertain a motion to come back from our dinner recess.
So move you.
And I have a second, but Ms. Deaver, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Mr. Moore, would you take over the meeting, please?
Yes, this is the time that the Sussex County Council conducts public hearings on zoning applications. They are legislative hearings because when council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. I will announce each application, then the director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made a part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant then will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application, and council may question the applicant and witnesses. After the applicant's presented the case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the applicant will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. You are not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already made. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent surface. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. President, the first matter before us tonight is conditional use number 1784, the application of Maurice E. Hayes, Jr. to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a small engine repair and service shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 4.2486 acres, more or less, lying north of 291, 1.1 miles west of Road 262. Mr. Abbott?
The Planning and Zoning Commission held their public hearing on this application on August 13th. The commission received comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department. The applicant was present, gave a presentation, and responded to questions raised by the commission. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1784 for Maurice E. Hayes, Jr. to operate a small engine repair service based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact on traffic. Two, the proposed use will serve nearby residents and the community. Three, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not, will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. And this recommendation for approval subject to the following conditions. A, there will not be any outside storage of any type, including but not limited to equipment, tires, or other materials used in the business. the applicant shall be allowed to store his personal hauler on the site. B, no vehicles or motorcycles for sale will be displayed outside on the premises. C, no repair work will be performed outside. D, the shop will only be operated between the hours of 7:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. E, there will be no more than one employee in addition to the applicant working on the premises at any one time. F, there may be one sign not to exceed 32 square feet on the property advertising the business. G, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. And lastly, the site plan shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and second, and it carried 4-0 to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved with the conditions and stipulations stated. Sorry, I forgot to pass down the site plan. Passing that down right now.
Are there any questions for Mr. Abbott?
We received an additional comment from the Sussex Conservation District on September 1st. The soils on this site are pepper box. With respect to erosion and sedimentation control, the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after any construction. The farmland rating of the soil is prime farmland. There's no storm flood hazard area affected. It would not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements, and no tax ditch was affected. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Abbott?
Shady Rest Lane or whatever, those neighbors were notified, right?
Correct.
All of them, so, okay. And at Planning and Zoning, did any of them show up?
No.
Okay.
Would it be like a dynamometer, or is it large? It's small engine repair.
Small engine repair.
And I didn't know how small that would be, the outboard motors or what?
Lawnmower.
Well, we'll be having the hearing. Is Maurice E. Hayes, Jr. here? Would you like to take the podium and identify yourself and state your application?
My name is Maurice E. Hayes, Jr. I live at 1922 Shovelhead Lane, Milton, Delaware. And I'm trying to get approved to use all my buildings for the business.
You want to state the type of engines you repair and what you plan to do on the site?
I work on lawnmowers, trimmers, weed whackers, four-wheelers. I don't work on boat motors or ski jets. I do like the Lewis Fire Company, all of their tools and equipment for the fire trucks. I work on Bob Raley's four-wheelers. I've got some other contracts that I do. We work on very little bit of motorcycle work. That's about it.
I was just wondering about the noise.
Oh, yeah. We know we have a neighbor, so we try to contain the noise.
So all the work that said it earlier, and something I just read was to be done inside.
Yes.
So there's no outside work.
The only outside work might be maybe to run and test a mower. That would be about it, really.
Mr. Hayes, do you and your wife own this tract of land?
Yes.
And you live in that house? Is it two parcels?
There's two parts.
You live in
the back part.
You live in the back, where it says house. Okay. The Pamela Hayes in the front, is that the same family?
Yes.
Right. So you own both parcels?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you. And you live in the back?
My son lives up front.
Mm-hmm.
That's a doghouse at the back.
Did you have anything else to add? Are there any questions to the council for the applicant? Seeing none, is there anyone else that would like to speak on behalf of the applicant? Is there anyone in opposition of the applicant? Mr. President, I see no other persons willing to or wanting to speak on this matter.
So, so we'll close the public hearing. Thank you very much. It's the pleasure of council.
I'll make a motion, make a second.
Okay, Mr. Moore, could you read the title, please?
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of the land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a small engine repair and service shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 4.2486 acres, more or less.
And do we have conditions on that? Mm-hmm.
Yes, there were conditions that were part of the record that Mr. Abbott read, which were four conditions with some sub-conditions. Would you like me to read those conditions, Mr. Phillips?
Please.
The proposed conditional use will have no significant impact on traffic. Two, the proposed use will serve nearby residents in the community. Three, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, there will not be any outside storage of any type, including but not limited to equipment, tires, or other materials used in the business. The applicant shall be allowed to store his personal hauler on the site. B, no vehicles or motorcycles for sale will be displayed outside on the premises. C, no repair work will be performed outside. D, the shop will only be operated between the hours of 7:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. E, there will be no more than one employee in addition to the applicant working on the premises at any one time. F, there may be one sign not to exceed 32 square feet on the property advertising the business. G, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. H, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That is all the conditions.
Okay. If council satisfied with those findings and conditions, I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Wilson makes a motion.
I'll second.
Mr. Vincent seconds. Is there any discussion?
I'm just assuming that the sign would not be lit. As I don't see where it's
like unlit. Unlighted sign.
Okay. Does it need to say that?
No. I don't
okay.
Care. Well, if it says lighted, I don't think it's permitted lighted unless we give it the permission.
Okay.
Make a motion. We adopt the ordinance with the following.
Yeah, it would be done.
And we will take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
With reasons. Please.
With the conditions, with the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and with the conditions that they applied.
Mr. Vincent.
Based on recommendation of Planning and Zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Based on recommendations of P&Z.
Spit it out, Sam.
I vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
For the same reasons as Mr. Wilson.
It's an appropriate land use application. This area doesn't seem to have a problem with it. I'll vote yes. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you.
The next matter before the council this evening, Mr. President, is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 12 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 15.16 acres, more or less. And Mr. Abbott, you have...
This application was also heard on August 13th. Earlier today, I provided each member a copy of an exhibit booklet that was submitted by the applicants. I passed down a copy of the site plan. The commission received comments from DLDOT, Office of State Planning Coordination. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet to the commission. The commission had comments from the county engineering department. The applicants were present with their attorney. And other representatives gave a presentation and responded to questions raised by the commission. The commission found that there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. On the 13th of August, the commission deferred action for further consideration and left the record open for response from PLUS. on the applicant's response and receipt of a copy of an environmental impact assessment study, and that motion carried 4-0. In the exhibit booklet, there is the environmental impact study. We received additional comments from agencies on August 28th. We received a letter of no objection from DLDOT for the entrance location. On September 1st, we received comments from the Sussex Conservation District. The soils on the site are broadkill, mucky peat, hurlock, kledge, and mullica. With respect to erosion and sedimentation control, the applicant would have to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and maintain vegetation after any construction. They advise that a storm flood hazard area is affected. It would not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. It would be necessary for on-site drainage improvements, and there was no tax ditches affected. On Friday, September 11th, we received a letter from the Office of State Planning Coordination. It's addressed to Mr. Lank. Attached is a copy of a letter received from Stephen Soleil regarding their response to the state agency comments received through the Preliminary Land Use Services for the Dukowski Project. It was noted in our original letter that this project is located within investment level 3 and 4, according to the strategies for state policies and spending, and within the environmentally sensitive development district, according to Sussex County. While this office did not object to the development of this property, we voiced concerns because of the environmental features on and around the site. According to the letter from Mr. Soleil, they are looking into placing approximately 87% of the property within a conservation easement or otherwise restricting development within the forested and wetland areas by a restriction on the record plan. The state appreciates these efforts and would suggest that it be determined what will happen to the land that will be undeveloped, placed in easement or deed restricted before the site plan is approved for the site. The state has no additional comments, and that was signed by Connie Holland. And as I said, we also received the environmental assessment report, which is in the exhibit booklet. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Any questions from Mr. Abbott?
If not, is David J. and Aaron E. Dukowski here? And would you like to come forward with your attorney?
Good evening, members of council. My name is Stephanie Hansen, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Young, Conaway, Stargate, and Taylor, and I'm here tonight representing Aaron and Dave Dukowski. With me tonight also is Mr. Steve Soleil from Soleil and Associates. They are the engineers for the project. And there's also with me Ed Lene, who is from Environmental Resources, Inc., who worked with us on the environmental issues regarding the property. The applicant is the property owner, which are the Dukowskis. At this point, I'd like to ask Mr. Dave Dukowski to come forward, and we can have a little question and answers. You can get to know who he is and what he's doing with the property. Mr. Dukowski, you are the property owner?
Yes.
And you've lived in the area for about how many years?
23, 24.
What do you do?
Marine construction.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you'd like to do with the property?
We'd like to develop it, put 12 townhouses on the property, and my ex-wife and I would like to keep one of them for ourselves and sell the rest of them.
Okay. Is there currently a house on the property?
Yes, there is.
And what would happen to that house?
We'd have to tear it down.
Okay. Who lives in the house?
Aaron.
Okay. You're okay with that, Aaron, tearing the house down? Okay. Thank you very much. As Mr. Dukowski had said, we would be looking to develop 12 multifamily units. It's on 15.16 acres, or actually two parcels, totaling 15.16 acres. It's currently zoned AR1, and it's in the environmentally sensitive developing district. To give you an idea of where we're located, this is the far southeastern portion of Sussex County near Fenwick Island. you'll see...
Route 54 is right here, and this large orange area is Americana Bayside.
And Americana Bayside, as you're probably aware, is zoned MR RPC. We're the Dukowski property.
Is right here. This is sort of the part of the hole in the donut with Americana Bayside. Americana Bayside, just to give you an idea of the area, to let you know that what we're proposing is in conformity with the surrounding area. Americana Bayside has 1,700 dwelling units on about 870 acres. It's a combination of townhouses and condominiums and single-family homes. And the condominiums and townhouses specifically are located about 1,800 feet or so from the Dukowski property. And as I said earlier, the property itself is in a level 3 and level 4 state strategies investment level. And lastly, importantly, and this is in your exhibit book as well, is the Sussex County Future Land Use Plan shows the Dukowski property as being in a combination of mixed residential area and protected lands. So it's not necessarily the low-density area, but it's mixed residential area and the forested lands. The Dukowski property is located within the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. And as you know, AR1 that has access to sanitary sewer would permit approximately 2 dwelling units per acre. So they would, at most could ask for 30 dwelling units per acre. On this piece of property, however, they're only asking for 12. As you'll see, there are a lot of environmental constrictions. With regard to public water, this is a little interesting because the CPCN for the property right now is held by Artesian Water. But Tidewater actually supplies all of Americana Bayside, which surrounds the property. And so we've contacted Artesian and we've said, is this something that you'd want to continue to do, or would you be amenable to giving up the CPCN and letting Tidewater serve water to this property, because it makes a little more sense from an infrastructure perspective. You'll see the correspondences back and forth from Artesian and Tidewater in your exhibit book. Artesian has said they would be willing to give up their CPCN. Tidewater has said that they would be willing and able to supply water to the property. So we will have public water there. It'll likely be Tidewater. So it's a little bit odd. I don't know if you've come across that once before, switching out to CPCNs, but it looks like everybody's on board with it. In order to get to kind of keep the dwelling units in a dense, small area, small pockets of this development, because we want to be able to preserve as much open space as possible, what they're actually proposing are 2 pods of 6 townhouses each. And Steve, maybe if you could get that up next. And the townhouses would actually be managed under a condominium regime, which means that this is not a subdivision. There would not be any individual lots. That if you were to purchase one of the townhouses, you're buying the townhouse unit, and you would be buying, you become 1/12 owner of the open space and open areas on the property. So there aren't any lots associated with this. They're simply the units themselves. And then you have the ownership of the open space. So here is the property. That's kind of an up close parcel, an up close view. It actually is there an exhibit that shows the whole land across the back. The exhibit that we just had up, the one that's in color, is actually just about this section here. The rest of the parcel is wetlands, forested areas, so it wasn't included in the color exhibit that you would see.
Do you mind going back to the podium so that it can be broadcast?
Well, I think at this point, maybe is when I'll bring Mr. Soleil up, and he can be Vanna White, and he could point to the things that I can't point to over there. Mr. Soleil, could you come to the podium and state your name and
Occupation?
I'm Stephen Soulet of Soulet & Associates. We're the engineers for the project. I'm a registered professional engineer in the state of Delaware. I've been practicing in Sussex County for a little over 30 years.
Let's talk a little bit about the sewer to the property. Can you tell us if you've had discussions with Sussex County on the sewer?
We've had discussions with Sussex County, and we have presented a preliminary plan for their review, and they have approved it. And it requires a gravity sewer line from the uppermost northern six units down to the southern six units. And if you take if you look just to the left of the southern building, you'll see a little white rectangle there. That's a 50 by 50 utility lot with a sewage pumping station, which will pump to the intersection of East Sand.
I have a way to solve this. I have a way. I have a laser pointer in my purse, and so we can actually have people talk up here, and we're going to point. Hold on. What women are going to have in their purses. Who else would you know that would have a laser pointer in their purse? Okay, here you go, Steve.
The pumping gravity sewer line would run down here to this pumping station. This pumping station runs down, you can see here, down to the Mastiff Way, which is this road here, intersects down with the, was it East Sand Cove Road, which is part of Bayside Americana.
How many?
There's a gravity sewer there that would pump into.
So did Sussex County tell you that this number of dwelling units could be accommodated?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And what is an approximate cost to put this infrastructure in place for just the sewer?
Around $200,000.
And that includes the pumping station as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about the roads that would service this facility. Council members, just so that you'll know, within your exhibit book, you have a copy of DLDOT's support facilities report, and you also have the DLDOT letter of no objection. Can you tell us a little bit about Mastiff Way?
Mastiff Way is a 15-foot paved roadway that serves the maintenance facilities for Bayside's golf course. Some of the facilities are here, and some are around the corner back just above where that drawing is, up in right around here. And it will have to be improved to county standards, 24 feet in width, and to the intersection with the Sand Cove Road, and that intersection, just the radii and the like, will have to be improved at that connection to meet county standards.
And we met with Americana Bayside on January the 13th of 2009, and their attorney, and specifically showed them the plan of the Dukowski property and asked them if they would work with us in the future should we get conditional use approval on a road maintenance agreement for Mastiff Way. And they had expressed support that they would, in fact, do that. And you'll see letters from Americana Bayside in your exhibit book as well. Is a TIS necessary?
No,
okay.
According to DLDOT.
Okay. Did we talk about any improvements to Mastiff Way, or not Mastiff Way, but the nearby intersection with Sand Cove?
Yes.
Okay. We've already covered water. We'll talk a little bit about the forest cover on the property. Currently today, is it true that there's 8.56 acres of forest on this 15-acre property?
Based on the aerial photos and our calculations, yes.
Okay, and if it were to be developed the way that we have the plan here, would there still be 85% of that forest remaining, in other words, 7.28 acres?
Yes, we'd be clearing slightly over an acre of forest for
okay.
the development.
I'd like to kind of broaden that a little bit, and let's talk about the open space in general on the property. Is it true that approximately 87% of the property, which is 13.17 acres, would be considered open space?
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about the different, what is that open space made up of, tidal wetlands, non-tidal?
Both tidal wetlands and non-tidal wetlands. Tidal wetlands, tidal wetlands down in the lower part of the, as it gets closer to the bay, and then this gut, which was actually man-made, was just the main gut. None of the side ditches are considered tidal wetlands also. The remainder of the shaded area in here is non-tidal wetlands, and then these are the upland areas.
The Dukowskis had, we'd mentioned at the P&Z commission hearing that with regard to the open space, that they would either deed restrict the open space that it couldn't be developed any further, or they would place it in a conservation easement, perhaps with the Sussex County Land Trust. The Sussex County Land Trust holds the conservation easement in the open space areas, the natural areas in Americana Bayside, so it would only make sense. And we contacted the Sussex County Land Trust, and as you know, there's a process that they go through where they would need to take a look at the property. They would decide whether or not this is something that they wanted to have an easement over. Perhaps there would be an escrow set aside, and there were a conservation easement would need to be drafted. The Dukowskis have not gone through that process at this point. You know, we've asked that we could do a conservation easement, or we could do a deed restriction. Now, I note in the letter from the Office of State Planning, they seem to want more of a concrete answer. What are you going to do? So we will commit to you that we will put a deed restriction on the property. That can be done quick, easy. There's no further development on the property. There'd be no additional dwelling units and no impermeable surface, no more impermeable surfaces, which I think is probably what would probably make the most sense. We thought about the, you know, no permanent structures. However, this is a there are some streams and a lot of wetland areas, and it may very well be that you would need some permanent structures like for stormwater management or some dams or something like that. So I don't think the wording permanent structure ought to be in there, because we might have to come back and ask you to change it. And we would also have it run to Sussex County so that it could be a deed restriction placed on the property that could only be changed if Sussex County agreed that it could be changed. So it would run for the benefit of the county, if that's something that that the council would desire. Mr. Soleil, are there any rare endangered species on the property?
No, you may want Mr. Linnae to address that.
Okay, I'll make that for Mr. Linnae. Can you talk us a little bit about stormwater management?
Yes. Although we're at a preliminary state and have not obviously designed a final stormwater management, what we will be using is biofiltration systems and shallow wetland type ponds in upland areas of the site. They will discharge the wetlands, but they will not impact them.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the buffers. Do we have a 50-foot buffer from tidal wetlands?
Yes.
Do we have a 50-foot buffer from perennial non-tidal streams?
Yes. Those are the 50-foot lines. Tidal wetlands and perennial streams are one and the same, and those are the 50-foot lines, the red lines, dashed on the drawing.
Okay. Now, in the plus comment, Denrek mentioned numerous times throughout the comments that they really wanted to see a 100-foot buffer from all wetlands. If we were to do a 100-foot buffer from all wetlands on the property, how would that affect this development plan?
Placing a 100-foot buffer on all wetlands, tidal and non-tidal, these are the areas, the dark areas, which are the uplands. Those are also the areas of overlap in those buffers. So there would be zero square feet remaining outside of those buffers for any sort of development on this property. It would not be possible to do anything.
So if they were to do the 100-foot buffer, they couldn't even get the existing house that they have?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I know that there's going to be discussion, and let's talk a little bit about the buffer from the non-tidal wetlands, how it varies and where that buffer line is.
The county requires a 30-foot buffer from active agricultural lands, property to to the south, although it is agricultural zoning-wise, it is not an active cultivation at all. It's used as a residential property as well as this is. We have, I believe the site plan in your book has been original submittal, we have a 30-foot buffer here, which is the 30-foot line shown. This is an alternate, reducing that buffer to 10 feet from the parking. There is approximately on the other side of the property line 40 feet of mature woods on that side already buffering the property. By doing this, if you look on the other drawing, I could pull it out, but I believe you've got a copy of it. If we reduce that buffer to 10 feet, we increase this buffer from the non-tidal wetlands to approximately 25 feet, whereas otherwise it's about 5 feet. We believe this is a much better layout, much better protection from the wetlands to pull it down to a 10-foot buffer on the south side. And on this side, the building at that point is its closest. It's about not quite 20 feet there from the building to the non-tidal wetlands there.
Well, I think maybe let's make this a little clearer because sometimes it gets a little confusing. This isn't a subdivision plan. And so the buffer requirements, that 30-foot forested buffer that you come across so often in other plans, would not apply. However, you know, buffers are important. We want to make sure that the county realizes that the developer is serious about doing buffering on the property. The plan that you currently have in front of you does show a 30-foot buffer around the perimeter of the property. Now, Steve, could you bring that plan up just so they can see what that actually does? Yeah, the other one, because we want them to see the plan that they have in front of them right now in their packet. With this plan, which is the one that you have in your packet, you can see that by keeping that 30-foot buffer, particularly around that bottom edge of the development here, it forces the units to be very close to the non-tidal wetlands. It's 5 feet or so from the non-tidal wetlands because it's not a big area to build on. So what Steve is saying, what the developer is doing is they're presenting, this is the plan that you have in your packet. However, there are competing public policy principles here. We can either have the 5-foot space with the next to the wetlands, or we can push those units a little bit further to the property line into that forested buffer area to get additional footage away from the wetlands area. And that would really be at council's pleasure. Steve, I think that's about it for now.
Okay.
All right. I would like to ask Mr. Linnae to come forward and talk with us a little bit about the other environmental issues at the site. You state your name and occupation?
I'm Edward Linnae from Environmental Resources Incorporated, located in Selbyville, Delaware. I'm a professional environmental consultant and professional wetland scientist.
And did you do a wetland study on this property?
I did. We did a detailed wetlands evaluation, prepared a report, and had a follow-up visit with the Corps of Engineers. And I guess since the time of the Planning Commission, we were... And it's in the book. We received a letter from the Corps of Engineers approving the wetland boundaries as you see them on the property.
Very good. And that JD, that jurisdictional determination, is in your exhibit book. I had to take a look at it. I haven't seen one of those in a really, really long time, but they actually do exist, and one of them is in your book. Mr. Linnae, can you tell us a little bit about whether we're going to need any kind of permits from the Army Corps?
The I guess a couple things I'd mention, I guess in the book too, is Steve mentioned was we also were requested to see if there were any records of rare, threatened, or endangered species.
Yeah.
And we did, and it is in the book, did get a response from the Fish and Wildlife Service that there are none. And I've yet to hear from the state. But I suspect the answer is no, because our company has some experience on the surrounding projects and what records were there, and based on that, I'm not suspecting there is any concerns in that regard. In regard to, there are going to be some wetland impacts for access to the project that are going to require getting an approval from the Corps of Engineers. I guess the primary one is that there's an existing kind of farm lane running back to this upland that already exists, and however, it's about 10 or 12 feet wide. And the road, as you see it here, I think is probably about 22 feet or so deep. So there is going to be some impact that we're going to have to get a permit for to basically facilitate getting this driveway entrance from here to here. Also, there is going to be some minor wetland impact as well along the roadside to widen Mastiff Way to a two-lane capability. And right now, we're suspecting that the impact levels are small enough that we should be able to get that per the next step as this move forward will be to apply for a permit with the Corps of Engineers. We are suspecting that because the impacts are so small that that can be issued through their nationwide permit program. So.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Lene, on the buffer issue she was talking about, she was going to give us the choice of if we should do it this way or this other way, these two options. Being that you're the expert, which is the most environmentally responsible option for the county to consider?
Well, I guess the proposal is to take the undeveloped lands and either put them in a deed restriction or a conservation easement.
Right.
And as you probably know, the deed restriction is kind of a single-party agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a deed restriction so there would be language that, you know, the county would maybe have to approve changes to it. The conservation easement, there's a third party involved. And, you know, in the case of Bayside, it is a land trust. So there's an oversight by a third party to see that the interests of that conservation easement and the stipulations in it are, you know, enforced. And so the conservation easement is the best protection that could be put on. And I guess I'd probably be up front and say that I provided a little advice in regard to the timing of maybe doing the conservation easement. And as far as the conservation easement is something, quite frankly, that we'd like to offer as part of a mitigation package to the Corps of Engineers. You know, that can be setting aside additional lands can be looked as one way of mitigating the impacts. And I would say that the draft of a conservation easement that would be acceptable to the Corps would be quite extensive in the restrictions that would be placed on the property. I think what we were hoping for is that if the council would want to have something at least to start with, that perhaps we could do a deed restriction with some limited language about no impervious surfaces, no additional units in the interim. And that would basically, I would just not want to see the Caskies preclude themselves from being able to get a credit to address the mitigation issues of their future Corps of Engineers permit.
How about on the issue where she was talking about shifting the buildings one way or the other with the buffer?
I think that makes very good sense because the adjacent property is basically no longer. At one point, there was probably a small agricultural operation on there. There's an existing single-family residence and a barn. So there is no real active agriculture on the adjacent property. And as Steve said, there is a 40 or 50 foot band of trees that would, you know, the 10 foot that would be left would be wooded. And then on that adjacent property, there's about 40 or 50 feet before you get to their kind of open lawn area. So it would make very good sense to be able to move that building in that direction. I would think that would be the best thing to do.
Thank you, Mr. Linnae. Well, that's really the end of our presentation. We saved Mr. Linnae the best, you know, the great guy to the end, and be happy to answer any questions that you would have.
I have a question. You indicated that this is going to be a condominium regime.
Yes.
Will the entire property be in the condo regime?
Yes, it will.
Are you going to be deeding the property into the condo regime, or is it going to be simply owned by them? So you will be making a deed dedicating this with your declaration plan. The declaration, will you also be doing a deed, a master deed at that time?
Yes. Yes, we will.
Is that the document that you'd propose to putting restrictions in?
Yes, we would.
So you would put the restrictions actually in your condo documents?
Yes, indeed.
I have a question. Who would maintain the areas that are not to be developed?
It would be the condominium association that would be maintaining it.
They'd still own it. They'd maintain the ownership. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not much maintenance in it. It's pretty much just left natural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have one follow-up question. If you were to deed this or place an easement on this property, would you propose doing that before or simultaneous with the creating of the condo regime, or would that be something the condo association would all have to agree upon and do it if you do it afterwards?
No, it would certainly be done either before or simultaneously with, because as you know, once you get the association together, then trying to get everybody to agree to something is just...
Well, there's the other issue, Stephanie, is if it gets sold and the next owner chooses to ignore that. So we could put a condition in that the open, the wetland areas would be put into a conservation easement or something like that, right?
We could
put
it in. Overall.
In one of the conditions could be that. So if it did change hands, it would change hands with those conditions, so we would have some assurance that what they're presenting here today would be, in fact, what we would see.
Sure, we could do that if they put those restrictions in their condo documents and with the anticipation that in the future it would be sold to a conservation easement. I'm assuming you could possibly have coupled with an interest.
If the whole project got flipped.
But that's what I'm saying. Right. Also, so we could have the additional documents that would be powers of attorney coupled with an interest that require that it be sold at a later date. So that's another mechanism. Maybe we can do that.
Certainly. I mean, the whole idea, we'll do whatever you would like for us to do to make sure that you're satisfied that the open space areas, there's going to be no further development on it. It will run with the deed, you know, however you want to structure it.
Well, it's going to be almost impossible to develop the wetland area.
One Stephanie, would think so.
It's not like you're really going to, you know, you only have 2.5 acres, less than 2.5 acres there. So under current zoning, right, but under the current zoning, all you get there is maybe 5 or 6 houses, tops. I don't even think you could probably get 5, but you couldn't get 5, you couldn't subdivide it in 5 lots because of the odd shape. So what you've got is about 5 lots under the AR zoning. So anyway, what you're asking for is it's quite generous.
Any other questions for the applicant?
Yes. Would you go over the buffers that Denrick wanted again? They want a 100-foot buffer from what to what?
They had wanted a 100-foot buffer from all wetlands, tidal and non-tidal.
Federal, which is the green.
Mm-hmm.
And that would encompass the entire property.
It's two-story. Yeah.
But what this plan, what kind of a buffer do we have?
It varies from the tidal wetlands. Let's see, Steve. And of course, there's a lot more than 50 feet from there. But for the non-tidal wetlands, it varies quite a bit. So
the green is all that green is non-tidal wetlands on that chart.
The light green,
right. So
yes.
When the state says they want it from all wetlands, they want it from the green edge of the light green, right? So your 50 foot is only from the tidal area, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking two different wetlands here. So it's.
Mm.
the buffer you have from your federal wetlands is what on there on that? Not very much, right? 30 feet and less.
Less than 30 feet.
Less than 30 feet.
Closest.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I read somewhere about a pond being filled in, and you need to tell the buyer of the unit that in their deed or something to notify them of that. What did I read something about a pond being filled in?
Do you recall?
Mm-hmm. There's no pond on there. Swimming pool.
No. Okay. All right. Well, maybe it's a different application. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some landscape pond.
Yeah, well, you're not filling that in, right? And you and what where the units are going is good sound land. I mean, it's dry. Is what you're.
It's where our septic mound is right now, up towards the road.
What? I didn't hear.
Septic mound.
Uh huh.
For existing house that's there now, there's a septic mound and there's a small little sway pond that's right beside it.
Oh, okay.
A bridge going over to a driveway.
All right, all right. I'm just asking about the land that you're talking about developing. It's
uplands.
Do I say it's uplands? Were we talking about how it's in a floodplain, right?
Where that pond? Well, the pond is a decorative pond, and it would have to be filled in because the entrance road coming in is there. It would be filled in with engineered fill, properly compacted, with inspection.
I did read about a pond being
filled
in.
Yeah, it is there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but just a deck.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
all it's
right.
All, Joan. It's all wet. It's all uplands, which has been, deemed to be upland. But it is all in a floodplain, right? That is in a floodplain.
Right. It's all in the flood zone. Mm-hmm.
But they'll have to build up high elevations.
Were there any other questions from the council?
Nope, we can't take any action today anyway, right?
Because but we still have to see if there's anyone else that wants to speak in favor of the project. Is there anyone here in opposition that would like to speak?
We're all staring at you, ma'am, because you're it. You're the you're the audience.
Mr. President, I don't see anyone else that's desiring to speak on this matter.
Okay. Motion we defer.
We will close the public hearing now. And I have a motion on the floor to defer.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried. Motion to the volleyball game. Motion to adjourn. Mr. Wilson, is that a second?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
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 He's out of here.
Get home.
Yep.